a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks. How y'all doing? We can hardly breathe here from all the hurling we've watched over the weekend. You're all very welcome to the Irish Examiner's Hurling Podcast here this morning. Bright and early, we're at it this morning, and delighted to be joined Mark, TJ, and great to have you back, Ger Cunningham. The bar's safe, senior, but nice to be able to look on. And I saw you doing a few commentaries and bits and pieces. We're great to have you back. We won't be able to have you back probably in October, November, when we cutting the shite out of you. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoyed the weekend's hurling. Some interesting matches, and I suppose tinged with a bit of regret that unfortunately we weren't part of it. That you know, we felt we, you know, our performance against Kerry Tool last day, we felt we should still be there. But look, it is what it is. But some great hurling the weekend. You guys had a game in the park yesterday. It was Everett Mark. Great game of hurling, really enjoyable. So it's coming to head nicely.
Yeah, and just on that, Mark is obviously an out and out fan. I think he proposed it actually for all the world. But have you been as taken as everybody else seems to be by the system?
Yeah, it's been very good. It's been great. I think the fact that initially the plan was that three teams would come from out of the three groups. But I think the way it's worked out, Dalo, that the only two came out has worked much better. I think that's been a real positive to in the system. The lads have got plenty of matches. They've played, you know, every second week, really. Like, you know what I mean? You'd wonder, you know, I suppose it's very difficult for dual clubs going back. You know, you take Blackrock now, you know, after yesterday's great victory, and they look forward to a semi-final in 2 weeks' time. But St Michael's, their football side, are playing next weekend in the quarter-final of the county. So, that's very difficult, and I think it's very difficult for dual clubs at that level to try, you know, potentially 6, 7, 8, 9 players involved. But at least I suppose they're going from week to week and playing matches. And I think you ask any player all over the country in relation to what they want to do. I think all they want to do is play games. And I think that, you know, builds momentum, you win matches, keeps your confidence going. So I think the system has been great. I think it's been a big success this year. The matches, even the matches last 2 weeks ago, every match was nearly vital. Every match, there was something riding on it. And I think that it's been an out-and-out success in Cork, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't think you can argue about 2 out of 4 either. Like, we had it in Clare now, my first 4 or 5 years playing senior with the club, and I thought it was great. You know, I mean, you couldn't really argue if you failed to win 2 games, you know, and you lost out, or in some cases, you failed to win all 3. But, we Clare top seed in Turvey, and this year now was funny because there was no relegation, so we'll see what they come up with for next year.
But like the funny thing is that like Cossey Rovers are in the semi-final of the Premier Intermediate now, and they only won 1 game actually in the round robin, and they were in last position with 0 points. But it's just the way the matches worked out.
Yeah, but that's okay, Mark. The new scoring difference could come into play. Like,
correct, and they put up a big score, and the team on the other side were defeated by a lot as well. So it just shows that if you know. All games are vital, and that's the most, because one of the issues that a lot of clubs brought up in advance of the new format was that there would be dead rubbers in it, and it actually has turned out that there was no dead rubbers. But part of that was the fact that 2 of the 4 got through rather than 3 of the 4, and you had Sayers, Middleton and Douglas in one group who would have been 3 of the top fancy teams. They knew then midway through the season that only 2 of the teams could come through, so that had a huge bearing on the Douglas and Middleton game, because if the 3 of them were going through, it wouldn't have had the life that it had. That was a cracking game that was covered live on the Examiner stream as well. And I think Tony Lee mentioned afterwards there was over 24,000 people watched that match. So, you know, that's testament to the new format that is there. Like,
yeah, and in fairness to you lads, you know, fairness to the Examiner and Co-op Superstores, I think, who deserve massive kudos, covered the Munster League with us last before Christmas as well. 24,000, Mark, you're saying. Like, I wonder what the figures are like, TJ. I certainly, to Mike Reardon, I made a contribution of €8 to see and I gave the Clare County Board €12, even though all Ireland winning medalists in Clare have got a free pass to games this year because we have so few of them, lads. We understand that.
It's very select few there, Dale.
But you can't use it, Mark, for the online.
Get onto your buddy Petfish. I'm sure if you
I can't send Petfish my passport photo and say, Pat, can I get this free? But it was well worth it. I was great, interesting, and clear, obviously, well, and we'll come to it later on. A big shock. Well, not a big shock in the context of the year, but O'Callaghan's Mills. Fingers as crowd as I call him. Pat Donlan, I suppose, more recent captain in 13, and still popping up with the very last point yesterday. We'll get to them in a few minutes, causing a bit of a shock against Ballyhea. We all expected the Ballyhea Bridge final, but we have now the meeting the neighbours in Clare with the Mills and the Bridge, last met in 93. But lads, to start, I didn't watch Aaron's Own and Sars because I couldn't watch everything. It was bad enough trying to watch one match on the television from Kilkenny and one match on the laptop Saturday, and again with the Antrim final and laptop yesterday. But look, that was one I didn't see, but the general team was Aaron's Own, never say die, comes out again. That seemed to be evident.
Yeah, incredible. Like, it's, you know, whatever neck Martin Bowen has with teams in Aaron's Own, he gets the maximum out of them. And he's a water coach as well. Ducky Garman is training him. And I just read down the paper this morning that any time that Martin has actually been involved, he's had a Waterford coach, Sean Prescott of Winner County. I think it's 2006. They beat Clyne in that final. And the remarkable thing, Anthony, is that there were seven players from 2006 played in the match on Saturday night against Sales. Shea Bonan goal, Shea Murphy, Stephen Cronin, Bear and the Hero Murphy, Massey Callan, Cullen Coakley, and actually Sean Kelly came on late in the game. Like, it's incredible to think that they played in 2006 and won a county, and they're there now. And like, Sales certainly would be one of the coming teams in Cork. But, you know, when I look at the overall context of a couple of the games that were played over the weekend, particularly Blackrock against Douglas, it was power versus pace. It was strength versus the youth. And that was evident in the Aaron's Own game against Sales. Like, Sales, who have an average of 321 in their previous three games, ended up scoring 112. That is down to the physicality of the backs. The game that Aaron's Own imposed on their forwards was dramatic. But from the get-go, and I think Fraggie Murphy covered the game with me on the Examiner Live, and we, from the first minute, Sales couldn't get their hand on the ball, particularly their forwards, and only Aaron Myers at certain stages put up any bit of resistance whatsoever. But Aaron's Own dominated the game from start to finish, and I suppose it ended in a crescendo of excitement with Liam Healy bearing down in goals and James O'Flynn coming out of nowhere winning a JJ Delaney and a Seamus Canlan job. Like, I mean, we saw that at inter-county level years ago, but it was the defining moment of the game. Healy got the up, and like, if you're a Sales supporter, the one fellow you wanted about the fight in the situation was Healy, and he bore on and goes, and James O'Flynn made an unbelievable hook, to be honest with
him. Yeah, might he have flicked it, you know, the little flick in front of himself over the bar, Mark?
Yeah, well, I think I was actually talking to Pat Ryan about it, and Pat on the night thought that Liam Healy should have taken his point. He said, Pat, he was on the edge of the square, he'd no other choice. He actually texted me about 1:30 in the morning to say, Mark, you were right, he should have went for the goal. So, like, he was after reviewing the game at that stage. He said he couldn't sleep, you know, as any good salesman would be like.
No, you get great clarity after a couple of glasses of wine, Mark. No doubt about that. Like, all things become clear and you know the solutions. Well, come here, following on from that fantastic hook, there was a forest of hurleys thrown into the field in Parky Cave.
Not one bit of ash, but two bits of ash. He hadn't seen the first one, but I tell you this much, he's some hurley carry on the mend, and was able to flick him the second one straight into his hand to clear it.
Ah, jeez, let's caught the van. Caught the van is going to go down in history here. I think we're looking at a brick flick moment here for caught. Like she said, straight away, you doing caught commentary with roaring caught the van.
Yeah, well, the power of the media and the power of Twitter and stuff, that people post this stuff. Like, I mean, we were all lauding Cart Devan last week and what she did, and that was absolutely magnificent. But to see it a week later is just dramatic stuff altogether. And in the last play of the game, Anthony, and there was only a point in the game. So, and like if you got cut for over carrying and stuff like that and a free in, it had a huge bearing on it. Like, I suppose the next thing that happened, Croke Park will probably send someone down to the sideline and stop the Hurley carriers.
Well, do you know what? Like, that honestly has been in my head since that on Saturday, right? Because I said, like, you know, and even myself and Larry, we had a bit of crack about it, Larry, like, will they do something about it now? And TJ, would it have been something you might have talked about, we'll say, with Thomas's training? Like, that this is after happening now 2 weeks in a row. Now, Cart didn't score her point, but she still got off for a shot, let's say. And obviously, this resulted in Aaron's own clearing the ball 80 yards up the field. Final play of the match, all but. But like, is it something you should be nearly thinking about now, that Hurley carriers aren't on their knees with a load of Hurleys?
Yeah, look, I can honestly say, Dalo, that I've never, I suppose, spoken to a Hurley carrier about that. However, I will admit to saying, right, do you know, if you've got a Hurley carrier on one side of the pitch and the forwards on the fence tries to open up that side of the field, right, we have, in the past, said to our Hurley carriers, so what you could do now, right, is step onto the field 3 or 4 yards there, right, and the goalie might think there's a player there, so it kind of narrows the space. So we have touched on that type of stuff, right? So to go back to Mark, I do think that the Hurley carrier has a big role to play. It's more than just, his brief is gone from more than just carrying Hurleys.
Yeah,
TJ, I tell you, there was a lad from Palace Green on to me about you there. Just his name won't come to me there now, but he sent me an old private tweet there about the bouncers causing a row while Palace Green were going well against them a few years ago. And he did nothing at all. You were in the thick of things. Now, he didn't say you were fighting. He didn't say you were fighting, but you weren't discouraging. And the next thing, the ref summoned him, who was nothing to do with it at all. I don't think he was a native Palace Green man now. His name just won't come to me. But the two were called out before he got a chance to open his mouth. You said, ref, all my fault. All my fault. And you were both warned, and you went on to win by 8 or 9 points. Like,
yeah, well, the only thing I'll say with Palace Green and Fair, some very, very tough, honest crowd, and they give you plenty of it. And there's a saying in Palace from years ago about when you go hurling there, they say, I'm not telling you to pull low, I'm not telling you to pull high, but pull anyway.
Gary Spillane classic is in for another week.
Gags is back.
But that's actually true staying from Palace Green, to be fair. But fairness, they're tough boys down there.
Yeah, they were dealing with the right crowd, which I'd say, fairness. No, lads, look, sure, that has Aaron's own against probably, look, their story for the year, in lots of ways for me. You could talk about UCC, I suppose, and the drive for four with Emma Killey, and they're stopping it now they in the semi-final. But like Aaron's own, where they... The way they've hung in there in games and now are in the last four, obviously they'll be massive underdogs against the Glen. Probably is massive too strong to put it, Ger?
No, I'd say it'd be quite similar to last Saturday, you know, where they were, you know, you could say they were massive underdogs last weekend as well. They were, I think, Sars in some places were 4-1 on to win the game. And I think the headline of the Examiner this morning sums up Aaron's own, the team that refuses to quit. I think in the previous match against Newtown as well, they were in injury time. And it looked like they were going out of the competition, and they got an injury time goal to stay in the competition on scoring difference. So I think it was down to Dalo last week. I think the fact of the local derby situation came into play big time. You know, they're living alongside each other. One team, hot favourites to go through, had played really well out through the competition, and you know, looked to be on course to take on the Glen in the semi final. It would be a lot of people's fancies in the competition to go through. But I think Aaron's own, it was the first time I think this year that they came out of the traps very quickly. All the other matches, they'd been very slow and they'd been chasing the game. But I think this time, I think they actually felt if Sarah's got ahead of them and got 4 or 5 or 6 points up, they mightn't be able to catch them. And I think they put a lot of focus on getting into the game early. I think their matchups were quite good. They have a lot of big physical players. And I think they got it right tactically on the line. Got a good start. And they just, you know, they got into Sarah's face. They were... Sarah's then began to mow a small bit, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, where you think you're probably in the game going into it, a small bit complacent in that if you're 4-1 on, you're not, you know, it's just very hard to change midstream. And I think in fairness, Aaron's only stuck in there. They probably could even won the game by more, because the Bear, who's Owen Murphy, who's normally very good from freeze, actually missed 2 or 3 frees that he normally would get, no, even though it was into the wing. But in fairness to him, when the chance came at the end of the match to put the ball over the bar, you know, he I'd say it was never in doubt because he's such a good free taker. But back to Mark's point, that free taker, that hook in the end by James O'Flynn was massive. The interesting thing you were talking about there about hurley carriers in the new rules, that the guidelines that have come out over the last weekend, will hurley carriers be included in the numbers?
Yeah, 11 is all you're allowed. Like, we'll come to those, but yeah, but your chase, if you break a hurley, someone has to ring in an hurley.
Like. Gerard, I was just going to touch on there. When we talk about Limerick in a while, the lack of a game for the guys who were beaten in the semi-final seems to be a factor in Limerick. Is that potentially going to be a factor for the Glen coming down the track?
That's probably the one thing that I'd say from the point of view that the Glen now have you know, won't have played when the semi-final is played for, I think, 4 weeks at least. In between, St. Nick's, their football club, are playing a relegation match next Saturday night. Now, I don't think they have a huge amount of dual players, but it's bound to be a distraction, I suppose. And trying to get challenge matches this time of the year isn't easy either, because, you know, clubs are playing themselves. If you go, if you look at playing matches in other counties,
you can't.
You might be lucky to get a game of someone in the same situation. But I'm not hearing that they've played anybody. I don't know that. But I think it's probably the one thing that Aaron's own going. On the back of playing a game and the Glen's lack of game time, and we've seen it in the county over the years. That break of 4 weeks, you know, can be difficult to overcome. Like, but I think again they'll probably relish the opportunity, TJ. This is a place they wouldn't have expected to be. I think it's, you know, early on they'd have been happy to, you know, to be involved. I'd say getting to the semi-finals beyond their wildest dreams at the moment, and I'd say they'll really, you know, they've nothing to lose again, same as last Saturday night. They look forward to the challenge, but I think on paper, you still fancy the game.
Yeah, and then I suppose in Robbie O'Flynn, you have the type of guy that can unlock defences as well with that bit of pace and that bit of, you know, he county star, like, so that's one to look forward to.
Yeah, he probably is a good player, but again, I suppose, you know, I suppose Glenn have Rob Downey on the other side of the wing, and you'd probably see Rob Downey coming across, maybe, or possibly coming across to Markham if need be, and Ron wouldn't be short of a bit of pace either, you know what I mean? So it'll be, the matchups will be okay there for the Glen, I would think.
Yeah. So, lads, on, like, we stay with Cork, you know, great game. I watched the 2E expounding about it, like, the little All-Ireland was really in full flow, and it was a great game. I really enjoyed it. It got a bit fractious just before half-time. Now, we can't have it everywhere. We've been saying that in every other county, bar Kilkenny, the referees are too finicky and there are too many frees being blown and we're not getting the type of hurling we want to see. And I thought Cahill, you know, went back to being Cahill of old. I remember Cahill refereeing Kerry County Finals when I wanted him to blow the whistle, but there was no sign of him blowing the whistle. and I haven't Shane Brick, like, I tried to my Billy Brick, you know, and the pure ball players. But no, look, I thought he did his best. You know, it got a bit fractious for half time, as you'd say down there. It got a bit saucy, and even though on our WhatsApp page, a fella said no mention of big balls. Roy Keane got a mention and everything in the core commentary at one stage on his attack on your man Highland from City or Leeds. It was actually broke his leg.
That's the fella Cunningham was saying to me yesterday off air. He says, "Who? What fella was that fella? What's his name again?" Alfie Ingle Hallen.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, I don't think it came out as clear as that yesterday, no, mind you.
it was cold up there yesterday. The jaws were starting to chat for a little bit with the breeze.
Yeah, the East Cork accent and that kind of a name, like, are not really thrown together, like, you know.
Yeah, we all kind of knew what we were talking about anyway. The Keno went down and gave a whisper in his ear and he said, "I see you Christmas Day."
Like. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, you don't want to laugh at me, like.
Yeah, but
come here, great game, lads, and you gave it a great core commentary as well, and I will say great insights as well. You call things that actually happened in the game.
Well, look, I think a number of things, I suppose. The first 15 minutes of the game was the best hurling I've seen witnessed in a lot of places. It was 8 points each, and I think from memory there was 15 of the points scored from play, or certainly 14. It was just brilliant, brilliant hurling from both teams. And I think both teams probably in advance of the game, and I wouldn't want to say this, is that whoever won that game yesterday, I think, has a great chance of going to the final. Now, we'll talk about UCC in a minute, which... It's another day's work, but both those teams went at it, hammers and tongs. No major tactics, I think, in the first 15 minutes. They were just flaking into each other, and it was complemented by Cahill McAllister's handling of the game. Now, it did turn fractious, and I think that because of one incident, I think, where Owen Dolan would have pulled before the ball arrived and caught Niall Cashman across the helmet. Now, to be fair, we heard it. I was watching the ball. I didn't actually see it, so I don't know whether he, John might have saw it. I didn't see whether it was early or whether it was low. But I would say this, I don't think the referee saw it either, to be honest, because if he did, he certainly would have put Owen Dolan in the book and he left play developed and left it. But I don't think he saw it, so I would support Carl in that. But I think anybody who saw it on television after said it was a straight red. But I have no doubt that Cahill didn't see it in the course of the game. And then I suppose after that, there was a couple of yellow cards handed out. There was a bit of mouthing going on. But that may have been a slight bit of retribution for maybe the pulling on Donald. He happened to be the person, I think, involved again afterwards.
And like at half time, it was just in completely in the balance, 14-11, like, and the win to come for Douglas. And in fairness, Joe, and I'd give it over to Bodie, you know, on a couple of things he called. You said, like, there's a temptation now to change the way you're playing with that wind. And will you go looking for the lump shot or the lotto shots, as I love to call them when I was coaching, I suppose. And there's no doubt about it. With Kingston gone into the edge of the square, like, I thought they had about five wides, that the only one that should have been really shot for was Stephen Moylan's one. He should have just steadied himself a bit, like, because you'd expect him to score from where he was. But the two balls they put into Kingston, he got a point and set up a point for Turnbull, and yet they were lumping wides, like, and all of a sudden then Blackrock got a couple of frees just to keep them ticking over, and they were back to square one, really, you know. So in that sense, I just didn't feel that it you know, that they made use of the wind in the correct way.
Yeah, it's probably always a temptation, you said before, during the match, like, when you played, the wind was quite strong. Dale, looking down the pitch, we were in the stand, but, like, the flag was really blowing. I thought Douglas had used the ball really well in the first half. You know, they carried the ball, support off the shoulder, the shorts passing, you know. I think Shane Brick, I mentioned there a while ago, I think has done a really, really good job with Douglas this year. I think they've come on leaps and bounds from where they were. I think their work rate, you know, their style of play, you know, but they have three serious forwards in Cadogan, Turnbull and Shane Kingston, obviously. And, you know, those three scored 12 from play between them yesterday. And I think the temptation, obviously, is trying to get them on the ball as much as possible. But I did think that a few of the other guys that maybe took the wrong options, like, as you say, they had to win maybe and they went potting for scores. I think they'd have been better off having made the decision to put Shane in full forward. That should have been the tactic. Create the space, get the ball to him and leave him, take him on the rest.
And they were on top there, John. They were on top for that first 11 minutes of the second half.
I think they had five or six wides, Dale, which were crucial. Because the Rockies had kind of pulled away just before halftime and, you know, had that 4 or 5 point lead. And, you know, I think Douglas would always seem to be chasing the game, like, at that stage. And they needed all those scores to go over to build on the confidence, because I think the Rockies are a very good team. They're kind of an underrated team in Cork. They've been there, thereabouts. They're a big, strong, physical team. With a good management team, John Brown, Fergal Ryan, guys who've been around the block, and I think they've been with this team for a couple of years. They have a good couple of young fellas coming through, and I think they're, you know, they were impressive enough. And I fancied them before the matches because I just felt that that Douglas, the three brilliant forwards, but, you know, they needed a bigger contribution from, you know, from the three other guys. And then I think the game turned. Alan Connolly got one ball, came in, he got it turned, which he's very good at. He's a slight young lad, but his hurling is really, really sharp. And when the chance was on, he real good forward instinct, put the ball into the corner of the net. So once that goal went in, I think Douglas were really struggling from there on in to get back into the game. But I think they'll certainly be thinking this morning they had their chances and they'll rue those missed ones.
Yeah, and I'd say if anyone was tearing his hair out, it'd be Shane Brick, like he's normally with Kilmiley anyway. Shane would have been edge of the square and let it into him, you know. And I'd say when he got a minute to water break, he was saying, lads, why do you think we're after putting Shane in there? But look, just on it, Ger, like, surely Michael O'Halloran will be getting a call from yourself or Kieran Kingston or somebody. Like, I mean, for me, it was a tour de force display by this fella who you'd know a lot about him, obviously, after winning the Fitzgibbon as well. Like,
No, Michael's been in us for the last couple of years. Like, he's been unlucky with a couple of injuries. And this year he fractured a bone in his ankle and was out for 6 or 8 weeks. So, like, that was the first time he came back in. Yeah. So, you know, you begin to wonder at times, like, he looked really fresh. He looked really energised. You know, he's the captain of their team. So I presume once he was ready to play, they were going to bring him back in straight away. I thought he was excellent yesterday. You know, he got 7 points from play. Mark got a bit confused a few times with the colour of the helmet with John O'Sullivan. And he was crediting for two more. But 7-on-7, great shooting, got fouled a few times for frees. You know, he's been really, really good. He's been in McCork now at this stage. He offers us something different. He's a big lad, good hand on him. And I've no doubt, that was the best I saw him play for Blackrock. That was the best display that he's given for me in the green and gold jersey. And no doubt, the confidence he would hopefully that he got from yesterday, he will build on it and go forward. And hopefully it could be an option for us early, you know, later in the year.
So he's in already?
Oh, he's always been in. He's been in for the last 2 or 3 years. He's been on the training panel. He's been there. He's been there. He's been, you know, Kieran would have known him really well going back. He was in the panel, I think, back when Kieran first came in 2016. So you go back 4 or 5 years. He's been around a while, but I think by far yesterday was his standout moment. Like that's the best display that he's given. You know, he's always been known for having a good hand and maybe a good ball carrier. But his accuracy and his shooting yesterday, he got a couple of points yesterday from both, you know, from the sideline and the far side from where we were, one in each half, and then in front of us, he got a ball from about 55 yards and stuck it over. They were brilliant scores when Blackrock needed him, and he stood up and he led them yesterday really well.
Yeah, he reminded me a bit just before you come in, Mark, there last year's semi-final and tip where Boris Ali, you know, really announced that they'd arrive at Conor Kenny, gave an exhibition of wing forward, played that day, and he got 5 or 6 some play like that, and it got him over the line where they weren't expected to. Huge call. Mark, you flagged the man. You flagged the man. I'll have to say, and you can give your overall on it, but you flagged it, Alan Connolly. You thought if he got the right ball, he might do something, and you were getting a bit frustrated. I said that it wasn't happening, and come at the man.
Yeah, well, I thought in the day, Dale, that he's only 19 years of age. He's not the strongest lad in the world. Like he's... you know, and I was talking to John Brown after the game. He said, look, he hasn't got a whole pile of strength and conditioning done, Matt, because he's still very young. And I felt that Conor Kingston had him well under control for most of the game. Physically, he just couldn't go past him. But what I really liked about yesterday is that the ball that he knew to fly to the ball, he backed into Kingston and gave himself a half a yard to knock the ball down in front of him. And he showed a pair of heels then, Dale, that I hadn't seen in the court. Now, we'd seen it already in the championship against Aaron's own. But in this current game, he hadn't shown that pace. But he went past Brian O'Neill and Conor back for Douglas as if he was only standing there. But the way he shot the ball across the goalkeeper and a lot of forwards hit it to the goalkeeper's side to make it easy for the keeper to save it, he went across the goals to make it difficult for him to save. So I was delighted. But I think it just showed maybe his maturity in his head that he'd worked out that the physical stuff, he couldn't get into a one-on-one battle with Conor Kingston. He just gave him a slight bump back into him and walked away. So that, to me, shows a great head. But it also showed that the likes of, we said in the past, the likes of a Jordine or a Ben O'Connor, you know, they can wait and wait for a long time and then get one opportunity and stick it. And I think that's always a great sign of a player. So, but just coming back to the Michael O'Halloran thing, Anthony, like, the beauty of this, the fact that the championship is on now before the inter-county scene, this gives O'Halloran a real leg up now, in my opinion. Like, you're going into a semi-final. If Michael O'Halloran can continue this vein of form, and it's actually club form, in my opinion, should play a big part on any fella getting onto an inter-county setup or getting into the team. And sometimes fellas need a break, Anthony, to get into the team. And I think this is the opportunity. I think possibly Michael O'Halloran has shot himself way up in the thoughts maybe of the selectors over the weekend, and that is the beauty of the championship being played in advance of the inter-county scene. And we'll have to wait and see, because the likes of Declan Dalton from Ballymacorda and Farrell O'Neill's is another player who's shooting the lights out, maybe at senior A grade, but he's still doing the business, and he's been doing it for the last 2 or 3 years. And you know, when I look at Ryan Turnbull and Cadigan getting 8 points between them yesterday, I'm still crediting Michael O'Halloran with the 8 points, because I know him since he's 14 years of age in the development squads with Cork, and he still has the same helmet as then.
Is Brian Turnbull part of the senior panel as well?
Yeah, Brian Turnbull's been in. Yeah, Brian Turnbull's been early in the year. Again, has been unlucky with injuries, TJ. He got injured early on the year with us, got a hamstring problem, missed out with UCC on the Fitzgibbon Cup. He came back in and was part of the panel for the final. He played in kind of a peripheral role with UCC. And when we went back to the clubs, again, he got injured with a hamstring early on in the year, played the first 20 minutes against Ballyhade, and he missed the game afterwards against Middleton and against Stars. and he's only just coming back in again. But he's been flagged as a prospect for a number of years.
I watched him underage. He's very good.
Yeah, played a final, like he played really, really well. So I thought he was very good yesterday.
Not sure, Dale, where you're at, but I'm just hearing like Cork, all these forwards, the trouble coming down the track. I'm thinking.
But the only thing with that is, TJ, I'm just thinking that Liam Cahill will have 4 weeks training and got into his fillers before Cork even start, really. You know what I mean?
Before they have
the likes of Hoggy back and Michael Holland and these fillers, like, you know what I mean? And what you're as praying is that UCC will get to the final, so there'll be a lot of outsiders involved. And on that, like, I suppose just to keep on the team for a second, like, I did meet Brian Lohan, we were covering the doubleheader in Clare 2-3 weeks ago, and we'd be close friends, obviously, from our times and still friends to this day, but obviously he's the Clare manager now, and I'm not involved in a head or shape or form, but I just said to him, you'll nearly have to look at lads playing well. And he just said to me, yeah, and it will shake up the panel, Dale, and yeah, you have to look at fellas and say that they are hurling really well, and maybe some of the guys we had thought of early in the year. Now, in the 3 or 4 weeks, I will say, watching it since, I'm watching the semi-finals yesterday, possibly a lot of the established guys looked to be to the fore again, you know. Certainly a few, like, Irogue, their main man was Danny Russell. Like, Danny's probably inter-county time has come and gone. He didn't take it maybe when he had real, but playing top of his game at the moment. Now, whether you consider a fella like that who'd be up around the 30 mark, but that's a conundrum. But you're right, Mark. I think it has thrown up huge, great conundrums for management. And that's what you want as a management as well, Joe. You want headaches. Like, it's like coming up to any Munster final or whatever. Like, you want fellas going well.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, if you look back, I suppose we would initially looked at our panel back 12 months ago. You started back, and when we went in there, you'd look at picking a panel, and here you are now 12 months on, like, and you know, the whole year has been decimated with the pandemic and its sort of situation. We've only had, you know, played 5 or 6 games, been interrupted for 6 months. So it is great to see, you know, that lads get 3 or 4 or 5 games to put their hand up to see where their form is at. And I think it's great that you get the opportunity to see guys. Especially as you get to the knockout matches where they're, you know, where the pressure's on, and you see fellas how they perform. So it's great from our point of view once you go back training to know that guys are coming in on the back of playing matches with their club, and you know, if you can perform at your club, that's how we all got picked day one. You got picked on club form, and if your form is good there, you come into the intercounty season and into the setup on the back of, you know, your confidence is up, your fitness is up, you're playing well, you've had a good season. So I think it's been great to see that we've been able to see the matches and see the fellas who put their hand up and gives us a chance to look at the guys in form.
Yeah, and then last night, lads, to finish up the semi-final, Pairns, I don't know if you saw this now, TJ, you could have been training or anything, but like, it just, compared to the other, I didn't see the Aaron's Own Saturdays, but all I heard about it and read about it was that it was intense and dogfight local derby, but last night had the feel of a different sort of game for me watching it, you know, and that intensity didn't seem to be there. Now look, I don't think the Piercy are in a great place. Like, they only scored 12 points, as Shawnee said last night against the Glen. You know, they didn't to me look confident in their play. But then you have UCC, like, with the Blarney lads have been involved in an epic the night before, but then you the likes of Paddy Cadell rocking up. You'd like Paddy O'Loughlin, who had a ferocious disappointment on Saturday, you know, when they were favourites to beat Doon with Kilmallock, but you had Paddy O'Loughlin coming back to the lads he played with all winter. And, you know, you have that X factor with UCC that are probably only going to get better the longer they were staying in, as we were saying, Mark.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that, like, UCC had knocked out Imakili previously, and the night they had a very slack panel with them as well. And then they rocked up last night with Killian Dwyer from Tipperary, Andrew Casey from Waterford, Mark Kyo from Tipperary, and Paddy Cadell. 4 extra players, nearly all into county standard. And who knows in another fortnight's time how many more, actually, like Conor Brown from Kilkenny is also available to them.
No, so Conor Brown's in Maynooth this year. So I got that question this morning as well. Was he available? No, he's not available.
Is there anybody else still available to UCC?
Montgomery can come back in, can he?
Neil Montgomery missed last night, but he was playing football with his club in Waterford, and he played the previous match against him, McKinney. So I think from talking to the lads afterwards last night, he's probably the only one. I know Billy Sheehan is another guy who's very keen to play and wants to play in the competition, but I think obviously he's going well at the moment with Dixborough. So again, the Kilkenny County final might clash with the semi final. So I think at this stage, you say, Mark, they rocked up, but these guys will be part of UCC all year. You know, they've played in Fitzgibbon Cups, and they're very much part of the college scene. And at times with UCC, they're at the beck of in relation to other counties and their match programs that, you know, they won't always have fellas available to them. So it was great to see there was nine Cork players played, you know, actually started last night with UCC, and there was another three or four who came on. So you will be backbone by other guys who go to college from outside the county. So, but I think it's I'd be a fan of keeping them in the competition. I think they've always supported the competition. And especially this year, I think they made a very special effort in the year that was in it. You know, the easy option would have been maybe not to participate and pull out. But in fairness to them, I think the lads were very keen to put a team in there. And it's great to see the likes of Paddy O'Loughlin, who lost the county semi-final the night before with his club in Kilmarnock, really disappointed to lose the match. That he turned up last night, came down, and, you know, obviously didn't play in the first half, you would say, probably, you know, the hurling that he would have been expected to play. But I thought he was better in the second half. But I think it's great. I think it's great credit due to those guys to come up. Shane Conway played a football game, Dale O'Donnell and Kerry on Saturday night, and again turned up last night. His sister drove him up to play, and they've been very committed UCC players. And I still think that in the overall picture, it's good. It's very good for the other Cork players playing with these guys, playing in the Cork Championship. And they've come through. They've beaten the champions, beaten Pear Sheik, and now they have a chance to get to the county final.
TJ, yeah, me and you would be kind of neutral on the thing. I know we're all neutral, but I know, Ger, you'd have a bit of an involvement. Well, you'd have a strong involvement with them in the Fitzgibbon. But TJ, would you, like, we would have played against Amalgamations, I suppose, in Clare and in Limerick.
Yeah,
we'd be fair to say, yeah.
Yeah,
but we never really played against a division or a college. Like it'd be like, how would you feel, would say, if Gary Spillane were beaten in a county semi-final by UL or LIT or Mary I?
Yeah, I was just wrapping that around my head. Like, it's difficult to kind of comprehend how a guy can play senior hurling for two teams, like senior club hurling. I can understand, like, if a guy was playing for a lesser club, giving him an opportunity to play in a senior championship, that would make complete sense to me, right? But, like, getting two chances, like a guy playing senior hurling with his club, that doesn't work out. You can play with UCC. I think there's a sense of unfairness about that. I get Gerard's point. I do think it would enhance any championship to have better players playing. It definitely helps. In a lot of counties, you only have three or four teams who can win a county championship in a lot of places. So having another team or two in the mix is a big help. But there's a small little bit of unfairness in there for me. And like you said there, I think when you bring it down to brass tacks, if guys now were in the county semi-final and got beaten by a UL star sort of team, I'd probably be ticked there, yeah.
And star studded from outside players from outside of Limerick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I suppose that's the balance. But look, at the same time, it's been working. UCC have been in the championship for a long number of years and they haven't won it. Maybe it's driving standards. Maybe there's a reason for having them there. It's good to have all those players. But certainly, I think that there's players all around the country who are playing with clubs that might never be senior. So to give those guys an opportunity to play a senior hurling championship, I think there's a huge plus in that. Now, is it good enough with just those guys alone? That's another question, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously they have the disadvantage of no real training. Now, they had the training earlier in the year and won a Fitz back-to-back, you know, so they'll be very familiar with her. And on the game itself, Gerard, they played a real college style of hurling, didn't they? They linked up really well and took the right options at the right time, I would have felt.
Yeah, even though they started really well, like, you know, they had a goal got in 15 seconds, like in the game, Patrick Ford got a goal straight away. But it was only as the game developed, and whether it was because Pearcy tired or kind of went out of the game. But you could see UCC got a, you know, obviously settling into their style of game, moving the ball, 30, 40 yard passes to the blind in a better position. So, yeah, these guys, a lot of these guys will only turn up on the night. You know, there's no collective training, and, you know, that they won't be able to get together before the Blackrock match, and they won't have any collective training. So, like, that, it is very difficult to expect a very strong team performance. You're relying on the work that they would have done back in, you know, back in January and February when they were preparing for the Fitzgibbon. And, you know, there's still four or five guys in there. You know, Shane Barrett wouldn't have played with UCC before because he's a fresher in that sort of scenario. So guys are coming in maybe on the night and on the fly. coming in trying to get used to the style of play. So it's very much individual players really trying to play as a team without any collective training at the moment, and that's a difficult one. I think they were lucky enough that they played Duhallow in a game 4 or 5 nights before they got a chance to play McKinney, and again they got a break. The fact that McKinney were without Shamie Hannan at the end of the night was a huge plus to them, and UCC kind of always come up with, every now and then they come up with a big performance in a big game, and then for different reasons maybe they don't have personnel involved. It's very difficult when they don't train together to keep that going and to be consistent all the time. But again, they've won 2 matches back to back now. They're in the semi-final. UCC haven't won the competition since 1970. Back in, Ray Cummins, Dr. Paddy Crowley, these people who were, Paddy's still involved. So it's not that they've been winning counties every single year for people to be criticising them. And I still have the belief that they're a plus for the competition. The guys playing intermediate and junior in Cork hurling, getting the chance to play at the higher level. And I know this year it was questioned last year at the convention, but I think overwhelmingly the clubs voted for ideally for them to stay. So they're very young guys,
Your co-commentator last night, his club mightn't have been in favour of that, were they? And Mr. McGrath's club.
No, I think they were one of the clubs that didn't vote in favour of it. They obviously have their reasons for it, and as they're entitled to do. But again, Shawnee played with UCC obviously when he was back in college, so would have known the benefits. And I know he enjoyed his time in UCC when he played with them.
Yeah. Well, look, John, I suppose just to close it out on the UCC, UCC have been huge contributors to Cork hurling in general, right? And I would say that their main function has been always the Fitzgibbon to bring through younger players, and I would be wholeheartedly in full agreement with Jor on the Cork-based players, but they're all coming from intermediate and junior clubs, the same as the divisionals, and that's why the divisions were set up, Anthony, the likes of the Carberries, the Avondhus, the McKillies and so forth, to give junior and intermediate players the option to play senior and let them play at a higher standard. But I certainly would be in the TJ Ryan camp there, that I think it's slightly unfair that a fellow who's already in the same senior championship in the country is allowed to play in another county in the senior championship and gets a second bite of the cherry than in Cork for UCC. And I don't think it is a help that those players are playing with UCC to help the intermediate and junior fellows, but there is an unfair advantage there that they're in the same championship in another county, and that's the only issue I have with UCC. There have been fantastic contributors to Cork hurling, but I think it should be allowed to just Cork players alone, the same as the McKillies and the Avondhus, and that a player can only and if a player wants to nominate a player for UCC and not play with his own club, so if Paddy O'Loughlin says I'm declaring for UCC, I think that's what happened in the past as well in 1970 when. Am I right in saying that some of the club players that won had senior clubs in Cork at that time and they elected to play with UCC and they didn't play with their own club in the senior championship?
You're right. They didn't elect to play with the club. It was known as the college rule at the time, that if you were in college and you were going to UCC, you had no choice but to play with UCC. And so in the past, I would have known some of the guys in my own club, Eamon Fitzpatrick and even Ray Cummins, Seamus Looney, players who would have played, great club players with Blackrock in the Bars, they would have had to play with UCC when they were in UCC at the time. But they changed that rule a number of years ago.
You can imagine being a better selector and you're not having Ray Cummins available to you because he was going to college. Jesus. Incidentally, just to throw it in there, that they were knocked out of the Munster Club that year by a little black and white club from Clare, but we won't say any more about that. I know Ray, but you can imagine being a Ray would be a Rocky show, wouldn't he?
Rockies.
Sorry, but you can imagine being a Rocky. The point is still the same. Yeah. Jesus, Ray is playing against us after we nurtured him since he was 12.
In 1999, in the county semi-final, Jodine, who was legible for Imakili because Killer were intermediate at the time, got a goal in the last puck of the game to knock Imakili out and put UCC through to the county final. So he was in UCC on a bursary at the time.
And that was all. That was all divisions meeting each other. Look away. That was total confusion. No, but look, that, and it's gas. Like if Bill Sheehan was available, Jesus, lads, like the way he played for Dixborough, and we'll get to that. And we better move on because we're after, as usual, spending 50 minutes talking about Cork. But anyway, yeah, look, there were.
Are you going to move it from the little All Ireland to the big All Ireland now?
Yeah, to the proper ones. the crowds that win the Munster clubs and stuff like that. You know what I mean?